So be honest with me. When you were kids, were you more a leader or were you more a follower? You don't have to share this. When you were kids and when you were a kid and you got in trouble, was it because you were leading the pack? You were simpler a follower? Which one? You all know what I'm talking about. Okay. We'll talk about leadership in just a little bit. A story about two hikers hiking in the woods, and they're walking along, and they had to stop real fast because they noticed there was a hole in front of them, a couple feet wide, a couple feet long, and they wanted to find how deep the hole was. And so one of the hikers went, and he got a rock, and he threw it in the hole, and he didn't hear anything. He says, "Wow, that's a deep hole. I'm certainly glad that we didn't fall into it." Well, maybe not. So another hiker said, "Well, let's just find out how deep this is." And he looked around a little bit more, and he found this big boulder, and he picked it up, and he threw it in the hole. And listened, he didn't hear anything. Well, maybe it's just a bottomless pit. Well, there has to be a bottom to the hole, they said. And so the hikers walked around a little bit, and they saw an old railroad track. And they got a beam, and they kicked it up, and they both carried it together. They said, "Certainly we can hear it now." And they threw the beam here into the hole, and they heard nothing. And about 5 minutes later, it was the weirdest thing. A goat came running full steam and went right into the hole. They didn't hear anything. About 15 minutes later, a farmer came by and said, "Have you seen my goat?" "Yeah, it was really the weirdest thing. The goat went right into the hole and we didn't hear anything." And the farmer said, "That's impossible. I tied my goat to the railroad track and to the post and the railroad can't happen." Now, dumb story, of course, but the moral of the story is be careful who you what? Be careful who you listen to. Be careful whose theory you listen to. Be careful who you listen to and who you tie yourself to. Because sometimes you might be tying yourself to a person or to a philosophy that's not the best. Be careful of the leader you pick and who you listen to and who you buy into. So talking about leaders, who's the greatest leader you ever knew and why? Now, you don't have to share out loud. Do you have a picture in your mind? Maybe it could be sort of a national state thing, or maybe it's a own leader in your life, somebody who's influenced you greatly. And what made that person a great leader to you? Do you have that in your mind? The traits of a leader, Cincinnati Entrepreneur Organization said, these are the four traits of very good leaders. A very good leader takes action. They're collaborative. They're able to get people to work together. They communicate, and they're also resilient. Maybe in your workplace or in your own family, you have a leader like that. Someone takes action, someone who's collaborative, somebody communicates well, someone's resilient. When I think about leaders, I think about these four people. So let's go through them all. When I think about action, I think about who? Now, Henry Ford's genius wasn't that he brought people to work, he brought work to the who. And what was his greatest invention? The assembly line. I'm not going to take people to work because they can't all do the same work. I'm going to bring work to the people, and that way we can assemble things really quickly. It's changed the life and how expensive things are today. He's a man of action. Now I knew somebody who owned a Model T. You ever own a Model T or knew someone who owned a Model T? I knew someone who said they did that. Seriously, a Model T. He made cars both affordable, and he paid his laborers a decent wage he could afford the car. So he's a man of action. He changed the way we live our life and the stuff we have in our house today because of him and his assembly line. When I think about collaboration, people working together, I think about Meriwether Lewis, and that because I'm a Lewis and Clark nerd and buff. But Meriwether Lewis, he was very collaborative. He took 40 military men, he had to cross the continent, and in North Dakota, he picked up a Native American mother with her baby, and he had a black African American with him. And they all collaborated together, and he had to work with Native American tribes to like trade for horses and for food. And when he got to the Pacific Ocean, he allowed everyone to vote, even the woman and the African American man were going to stay on the north or south side of the Columbia. So what made him successful, he's able to take people and give them to work together. Now the next person I'm not sure you know of, and that's who? Tom Monahan. Now who is that? Well, I'm sure that you ate some of his products. He is the founder and first CEO of Domino's Pizza. Now, he didn't make his fortune selling pizzas because lots of people make pizza. Matter of fact, he sort of shortened his menu. And his brother didn't like the way he was doing it, so they split the worth of the company, and his brother like got a 1967 VW Beetle they used to deliver pizzas with. But where Tom Monahan made his wealth is he's the first one to communicate this. "I'm going to deliver a pizza to your house in 30 minutes or less, or the pizza's what? My favorite price," okay? So free. And that's where he made billions. And he's by the time he got out of the business, worth $110 billion. Too bad for his brother. I hope that VW bug's still running. $110 billion. But he's able to communicate very effectively. Deliver a pizza to your home in 30 minutes or it's what? Free. And when I think about resiliency, I think about who? He lost more elections than he won. He had a sweetheart who died. He had another sweetheart who broke up with him. He had a child who died in office. He had to deal with a lot of conflict. If you've seen pictures of Lincoln throughout the war, you saw how war and tore on him, but he was very resilient. He held to his plan. And these characteristics make a great leader. Action, collaboration, communication, and resiliency. So maybe when you think about leaders in your life, or maybe what God is leading you to become or do, think about those four, the traits of a good leader. But friends in Christ, there are no leaders in America. And anyone that you would mention as a leader to my name, I'm sure there's a number of people here worshiping us today would say, no way. And if I mentioned someone to you, you'd say, no way. And someone mentioned someone who maybe doesn't agree with them, a lot of people say, no way. We have no leaders in America. In postmodern America, where there is no such thing as truth, we have no leaders and we have no heroes. Now, maybe some of you are old enough to remember maybe Roosevelt or Patton or Eisenhower or maybe even JFK. But since then, we have no leaders. There are no national heroes. There's nobody that we really look up to. No, not really. Bonnie Tyler sings this. Where have all the good men gone and where are all the gods? Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds? I'd like to know. Isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed? Late at night I toss and turn, oh, when I dream of what I need a hero. Because in modern day America, we have no heroes. We have no leaders. We have nobody that we look up to. There are no Lewises, there are no Fords, there are no Lincolns in modern day 2022 America. We sort of left all to our own in postmodern America where everything is relative. Sort of the same way in Isaiah's days. Israel in Isaiah's days had no good leaders. They were idolaters. They wanted to get along with the people around Israel. They forgot about God. There was no white knights and streetwise Hercules. And in Isaiah's day, there were no heroes. God's people, no heroes, no leaders. They followed idols. Not much has changed since then, if you take a look at modern America compared to Isaiah's day. So God turns their head and he speaks through this leader, Isaiah. Can you read that with me? What are you talking about? Who's the stump of Jesse? Well, Jesse is David's father, David the king, who God promised from him would come a descendant who would be Lord of all, whose kingdom would never end. And if you look at David, we can examine his roots and his shoots. And he says this, Isaiah points this leader, he's a promised seed. Well, think of Adam and Eve and a descendant of David. And his origins are from ancient of times, for us familiar with Advent themes. His origins are of old. Who is that leader? Can anyone take a guess? Say it. That's Jesus Christ himself, true man, true God. Let's go back to the stump of Jesse. The stump of Jesse, David, from his roots, that is God, and the shoot is Jesus will be the Son of God. He'll be man and true God. And he becomes, and he is a leader that both Israel needed and that we each need today, both as a country and as a church and as individuals. So he's a perfect leader. He does things perfectly. Number 7, how many days did God create the world? Say it. 7 is a number of completeness. He's a perfect leader. So let's examine the leadership qualities of Jesus. Nothing against the Cincinnati Entrepreneur Organization, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And he's a spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of power, spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. These 7 characteristics define Jesus. Let me explain to you what that means. What does it mean, those characteristics? Well, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, which means the divine has touched him. The spirit of wisdom, wisdom is understanding the nature of things. Understand the nature of what things are. The spirit of understanding is I can discern. Friends in Christ, we as believers, we're called to what? Discern. When do I share law? When do I share gospel? When do I spend money? When do I give? When do I confront someone? When don't I? When do I correct my child? When do I praise my child? Discern. The spirit of counsel is to come to proper conclusions. The spirit of power is to be ability to follow through. The spirit of knowledge is to do so in the fellowship of love. The spirit of the fear of the Lord is reverency. We no longer live in a reverent society toward God. Jesus is all these things. He understands the nature of things. He can discern. He can come to conclusions. He has the ability to follow through. He understands the fellowship of love and the reverence toward his Father. When I think about this, I think about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And once again, parables are not nice stories for nice children in nice classrooms by nice teachers. That's not a parable. A parable is an iron fist and a velvet glove. You all know the parable of the Good Samaritan. The man gets beat up, and two priests go walking by, and who comes and helps? Say it. Well, that's a rather simple understanding, so let me explain the nature of things and help you discern and come to conclusions and give you the strength to follow through. Jesus tells this parable to Pharisees who think they're better than others. Jesus tells the Pharisees who have weird religious laws that would not allow them to touch someone who's not like them. Jesus tells this parable to Pharisees to help them understand that he loves everyone, including the outsider who doesn't look like them. The Pharisees couldn't touch the man. They didn't know who he was. And who came by and helped? Say it. Who's considered an outcast? Then Jesus comes to a conclusion with this. In the reverence of God, he says this to all of us. Go and do what? Go and do likewise. If you understood that parable, you understand the leadership of Jesus confronting the Pharisees and setting them straight, the mission of the church. Isaiah shares more about this leader. He's righteous. He looks out for the poor and downtrodden. Friends in Christ, this past month, it's been a joy to serve you. Why? Well, our drive-through Tuesday dinner, through Tuesday morning Bible study, raised $3,700 for Shop with a Cop, the poor and downtrodden. And then cross-training. Cross-training had an event for veterans where we donated gift cards and food clothing for veterans. And then the angel tree. We put up the angel tree. I was supposed to announce it the next Sunday, but all the angels went down. So I announced it anyways because someone put up a second set of angels on the gift tree. They all came down. And by the time I could announce it, they were all gone. Help the poor and the downtrodden. May we continue to do so. Jesus is that leader. May we do so likewise. He deals with evildoers. He confronts them. Stop. Stop doing that. He confronts evildoers. He'll be faithful. Friends in Christ, as much as we don't like to say it, there's nobody on earth that we can trust 100%. But who can we trust 100%? Say it. He's always faithful. He is the rock. He's that leader. He's a perfect leader. And he will bring peace. No, not necessarily peace where there's not going to be war or violence or disagreement, but inner peace between God and through believers with each other. That is the type of leader that he is. Take a look at this picture. You ever seen anything like it? I think this should be part of our Christmas celebration. In my former congregation, we had something just like I do now. We have meetings with other circuit churches. And one circuit church, always when they put up a nativity, put a stuffed lion and a stuffed lamb next to it. Very nice one. Why? Because that's a picture of peace. That's a picture of the leadership Jesus brings. Picture Christmas. The calf and lion will lie down together. Now, of course, what Isaiah points us to through the leader Jesus, that's a picture of heaven. Put that up next to your nativity scene. Here's a discussion point. What's a lion and lamb doing laying together next to nativity? Well, this is the peace that Jesus will bring. This is the blessing of heaven. The root of Jesse will stand like a banner for the peoples, and nations will rally to him. So not only do the lion and lamb lay down together, but Jesus will be a banner for all nations. Now, you've heard previous pastors say this, and I'll say it to you again. What's the reason we exist here at St. John? Do we exist for us or others? Say it. Others. We're a banner for others. We're a banner to the nations. Read this verse with me. The nature of things, Jesus, true man, true God, discern. He's going to die for the sins of the world. Conclusion, it is finished. Fellowship of love for others, of counsel, ability to follow through, and reverence for his Father, doing his Father's will. Jesus will draw who to himself? All people. And for us in defiance, we say, what does that mean? Friends in Christ, The center of Christianity is no longer Western Europe and North America. The center of Christianity is now between Africa and Asia. There are more Lutherans in Ethiopia than there are in the United States and Germany. There's more Anglicans in Africa than there are in England and North America. There's more Presbyterians in Korea than there are in Scotland and North America. And there are more Roman Catholics in India than there are, more Roman Catholics in India than there are in Italy. When Jesus says, "I will draw all men to myself," did he mean it? He's the perfect leader. I know this sounds odd, but right now, friends in Christ, there's missionaries from Africa and Asia where? The United States. Funny thing how the gospel spreads. I will draw who to myself? All people. It's happening before our very eyes. In the past few decades and years, we will be a banner for the nations. May God use us to be leaders. Well, you know, action, collaboration, communication, resiliency. The Spirit of the Lord with wisdom and counsel and strength and the fear of the Lord in our vocations and gifts, that we might be a banner. And may our church and school continue to stand like a banner. And by the way, friends in Christ, there are still new faces at St. John Lutheran Church and School all the time. I teach life with God 3 times a year. There's always new people there. Jesus will draw things to himself. May God use us to be the leaders that he calls us to be. Christ the leader in a leaderless world and nation. Him who lived and died and rose for us. So I have this for a closing thought. Can you all read it with me? Jesus, lead thou on. And led by Jesus, all God's people say,